The following program was pre-recorded for broadcast at this time.
Hi, this is attorney Jeffrey Meldon. On our Law Talk Live radio show, we're going to highlight some of the incredible guests that we've had on our Meldon Law and Friends podcast as we approach our 150th episode. Many of our loyal listeners from Law Talk Live may not know about our podcast, which airs on Facebook Live every Tuesday at 4 p.m. from Spurrier's Gridiron Grill in Gainesville, Florida. And we bring on guests from all over North Central Florida and beyond. Stay tuned to listen to the following interview from one of our amazing guests and head on over to our Facebook page and hit the like button so you do not miss any of our upcoming shows. For more information on our podcast, please give us a call at 352-373-8000 or visit our website at meldonlaw.com. We have a great show for you today. Before we get to our special guests from Meridian Behavioral Healthcare, we're going to take a short break here on Meldon Law and Friends, and we'll be back.
Meldon Law has been serving personal injury victims since 1971. In those days, Jeffrey Meldon's presence as an attorney in the music scene dubbed him with the nickname The Hippie Attorney. And although times have changed, two things haven't. Our commitment to bettering our community by helping the injured.
Albert, are you ready to go to the game?
And our love for the Florida Gators.
If you bleed orange and blue, Meldon Law is the firm for you.
We have a terrific group of friends here today from Meridian Behavioral Healthcare. I'd like to welcome Maddie Atkins. How are you, Maddie?
Very well, thank you.
Great. And Alan Paulin. Good. How are you doing, Alan?
Doing well, thank you so much.
So let's start with Maddie. Maddie, would you tell us what you do at Meridian?
Yes, so I am the program coordinator for mental health first aid. I have worked at Meridian for 10 years now. I just celebrated my 10th year anniversary. So for about 4 of those years, I have been the program coordinator for mental health first aid, teaching and scheduling those classes.
What's mental health first aid?
So mental health first aid is an 8-hour interactive training that teaches participants how to recognize the signs and symptoms of a mental health or substance use challenge, and then how to appropriately respond to that situation. So we teach participants how to be the vital link between someone who is experiencing a mental health or a substance use challenge or crisis, and then link them to the appropriate type of help, whether that be professional help, self-help, or some other support strategy.
So these are not people that are employed full-time at Meridian. They're people you train in the community?
Correct. Some of them do work at Meridian, but it is open to anyone who is interested in the community. It is for adults only. You do have to be 18 to take the class. But yeah, anybody that's in the community that is interested in learning about how to have conversations about mental health.
So how did you get into being the coordinator and trainer?
I started as the assistant in the prevention department. So I got to learn about how everything was working. I got to help with all of the back end of entering all of the classes and printing out all the forms and getting to go and watch other people train. And then I got instructed to train. Meridian paid for me to become a certified instructor. And so I started teaching. And when our program coordinator left, she kind of handed it to me and showed me how to do it if I was interested. Gave me a nice warm handoff and kind of took over and went running.
Well, you know, that's great. At Meldon Law, we promote within as well. And I think you probably got the best training being an assistant for several years.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I was the assistant for about a year and a half and then became the coordinator.
Yeah, I mean, there's no better training than, you know, being there and seeing what goes on.
Absolutely.
And then
Now, what kind of changes did you make when you came in? Were there, things you saw that you thought you could do better?
So we expanded our marketing and our promotion of it, trying to find other audiences that maybe didn't hear about Meridian in the traditional places, more social media posting and just more socializing, really, because this is such an awesome class and everyone who hears about it is interested. They just need to hear about it and find a way to sign up for the class. As soon as I started, we had COVID. So a lot of the trainings in person obviously couldn't happen. So we moved to a virtual platform, and that still exists. This training can be done in person or virtually. If you ever get the opportunity to take it in person, I would encourage that. It's definitely more interactive that way. But either way, it is definitely a really effective and awesome training.
So how do people sign up? Where do they go?
So they can go to Meridian's Facebook page. We have several community classes that are coming up in the summer that are completely free of charge. And they can sign up by going to the Facebook page. There's links to Eventbrite. In the future, there will be more information about that, but Facebook is a good place to start, or Meridian's website also.
So the Facebook page is called what, Meridian Behavioral?
Yes, Meridian Behavioral Healthcare.
Okay, and that's where they can find the information in order to sign up for the, mental health first aid.
Correct, and there is adult mental health first aid or youth mental health first aid. Like I mentioned, you do have to be 18 or older to take the course. So when we say youth mental health first aid, we're referring to adults assisting young people. So that's a separate training, but it's very similar to the adults assisting adults training.
And how long is the course last?
It is a full day, 8-hour interactive hands-on experience.
Okay. So if either myself or someone from our team wanted to go, we just go online, check it out, sign up, and you'll tell us when and where.
Correct. And if there was a group of between 5 to 30 people that wanted a class not on that particular date, I can come to that group. They just need to provide a location and a group of people within our 12 counties that we serve, and I can come to that group and provide it pretty much whenever they want to.
Well, I think, it's amazing that we have the resources, because really, I think identifying those people that need help is probably step one, right?
Yes.
And that's why you call it first aid.
Yes. Identifying that and then giving people the confidence to step in once they do notice signs and symptoms, and to not just say, well, I noticed this, but I don't know what to do. It's not my place. Giving them the tools to have that conversation, to step in and link that person to whatever appropriate help they need.
So how does it work in, practice as far as, say adult takes the course, they're trained in first aid, and then they want to, they notice that, either a friend or family member, in their opinion, needs help. How does that whole process unfold?
So if someone takes mental health first aid, they learn about a concrete action plan, and it's 5 steps. So that person, if they notice signs and symptoms in a loved one or a stranger or whoever, they can start using those 5 steps in whichever order they need to.
So if, for example, I see somebody, it's a friend of mine who's kind of losing it, and I say, Joe, I want to talk to you. Okay, I've been trained, right? Okay, how does that conversation go?
So really, we're learning how to be effective listeners. And then if you take the mental health first aid course, there are some key kind of like terms or phrases, or we call them like back pocket expressions, that you can kind of use when someone does open up to you. If they're willing to talk, it kind of gives you a blueprint for the things that you can say to them. But you'll have to take the class to find out.
Okay. So you take the class and then you will explain how the intervention or whatever you want to call it, right?
And I can give a teaser. It can be very simple. Mm-hmm. How are you doing? I've noticed that you haven't been yourself lately. Is there anything you'd like to talk about? It doesn't have to be. It's not anything extraordinary, but it is very simple. But that is a lot more effective than saying, why are you feeling that way? Tomorrow is going to be a better day. It's going to be okay. How can you feel that way because it's such a beautiful day today? Those are things that actually are not effective. But once you set up that question, I'm concerned about you. Would you like to talk about it? Make them feel comfortable, and that's your first step. And then with that assessment part of it, you're kind of learning how long has this been going on? How has it been affecting their daily routine? And really could be affecting their health. Have we seen increase in drug or alcohol use? And you start to gather a lot of information, and that will help you determine a level of concern. And then there's action steps, getting them for self-help, direct giving them some resources in the community, or even maybe sitting with them to make a call to get help with a professional.
So, Alan, why don't you give us a little bit about your background with Meridian? I know that you're Senior Vice President of Clinical and Community Services. Does that include this mental health first
aid? It did up until recently. Prevention was under my scope. But I've been with Meridian for 26 years. Started out actually as a therapeutic big brother working with teens. Coordinated care from that and managed some various programs. And then went out to the clinical side. And so basically under what we cover, when we say clinical and community services, it holds a lot of our traditional outpatient services for adult and children. That would be coming in maybe for an assessment and seeing a youth or an adult once a week, once every other week, depending on the level of concern and how intense the problems are. And it also covers, we have a lot of specialty programs. We work very closely with our community partners, child welfare, Department of Corrections, in the county jail. We do a lot of inreach in the jail to where people are screened for and they come up with issues with mental health or substance abuse. We go in there, we talk to them and give them some options upon their release to how they can get back on track and they can have to start their own recovery.
Yeah, it's interesting.
A variety of things.
It's interesting that you bring up that program as far as outreach into the jail community mm-hmm. because I've lived downtown since I moved here in 1970, at least off and on, and, you know, there's a lot of homeless people, and my perception is that, you know, mental illness and substance abuse contributes quite a bit to the homeless, problem or homelessness for people. What's your perspective on that and how we can help improve that?
Well, that is very true. I think what you'll find is they've gone through various levels of trauma from a young age and have been dealt a cards that you really couldn't really understand that so many bad things could happen to a particular person. Instead of getting some correct coping mechanisms and getting some help that they need, things are topically addressed often through alcohol and drugs or other behaviors that are harmful. And then it could lead to engagement in criminal activity. So once we can engage with them, we actually have one of the programs we have operating under a grant is doing outreach in the streets and work in identifying folks and get them back on with their therapy, help them address their trauma, substance abuse, and get them, they'll actually start getting healthier, working, and then by the time they leave our program, they're housed. We give them support once they get into an apartment or a home, back with family, mending family relationships, and then they're self-sufficient, and they're on their path to recovery.
You know, a lot of folks don't understand that it's not a quick fix with folks that have been, you know, on the street due to, you know, whether it's mental illness, drug abuse, they're all many times related. And even if you have housing for them, if they're living in a housing situation with other people, there's certain rules. And unless you address some of the underlying problems, it's always been my feeling that the likelihood of success, living around other people is challenging.
Yeah, absolutely. It takes a while. It doesn't happen overnight. Recovery is not a straightforward process. It could be two steps forward, one step back, maybe sometimes two or three steps back. But as long as you keep that faith and keep that hope alive and instill that hope with them, be that support, they start to regain and they start to get their old self back and they start moving forward. And it is really a powerful, it's a powerful thing when somebody gets better and recovers and they come back a year, 2 years, 3 years later and they come and tell you how well they're doing. It's very powerful.
So, I know that, you know, Gainesville, is not unlike, you know, many communities where we have a visible homeless, population in the community. I'm very glad to hear that you're actually out there trying to offer opportunities to those folks that have some desire to change. How do you approach folks that are, you know, dealing with serious mental health problems, drug addiction, and or other issues that may, you know, for at least for that time, you know, create somebody who's very antisocial, for lack of a better word?
Well, I think certainly kind of having that, those people skills, those soft skills, to when you come up with them, being genuine is so critical. And people know when, if you're really being genuine, and they will pick up on that. And just even some of those simple things, like we said, hey, how are you doing? And you could talk, I could even have some small talk, and you could let them know who you are. And if they aren't ready, that's okay. Give them some information and just let, you know, we'll be back, probably be back in this area. And it really goes from there. Even if you start thinking about it, hey, well, maybe just think about it. When I see you the next time, maybe we can come to something where we can get you to the next step. So the engagement's a big piece.
Yeah, I noticed that you try to engage people by asking open-ended questions. Mm-hmm. So let them start talking.
Yeah, it goes back to what Maddie was referencing. You know, being a very good listener cannot be understated. Anytime I get on the airwaves or give some kind of presentation, it always comes back to being a really good listener. And that is a skill that everyone has, but they often don't use it. So really being conscious to not cut off conversations, giving them that space, being understanding, non-judgmental, and even if it's silence, being comfortable with silence, because that is a form of communication, and it shows that you care and you're not just kind of running to the next thing.
I've always, admired Meridian. Like I said, I moved here in 1970. I think you told me earlier you started in 1972, Meridian.
Yeah, we just celebrated 50 years.
And, it was the number. I used to have a lot of clients that I would send out to Meridian. You know, it might be I was defending a drunk driving case, and I recognized that the people, you know, had problems, and before I went to the judge, I'd want to at least show that we're trying to do something to change the behavior, because, of course, the courts don't want to send people back out onto the streets when they're exhibiting behavior. And Meridian has always been accessible regardless of financial resources. You want to talk about that a little bit?
That is true. We accept all forms of insurance, but we also have funding to serve people who are either on a sliding scale or depending on their income level or no income. No one would be turned away at Meridian.
So that's very important. Yeah, because a lot of our listeners know folks that need help, but they may not have the financial resources. Mm-hmm. And Meridian helps everyone. It's tell us a little bit about the overall facilities and structure at Meridian and who it does serve.
Sure. Well, we serve 12 and at times 13 counties depending on the service, and we have service locations in all of North Central Florida. Our main campus is in Gainesville area, right there on Williston and 441, and we have quite a few services there. We have our standard outpatient services, and that's that main building, the colonial-type building that's facing 441. But we also have residential programs at Sid Martin Bridge House. And even within that, we have some more of a specialty program with pre- and postpartum moms who have or have been struggling with substance abuse. They have to carry their child, give birth, stay in treatment. So not only they're working on their issues, mental health, and working through trauma, substance abuse, mental health issues, but we're also providing parenting classes and to help them understand developmental stages of children and how to keep up and enhance their nurturing capacities. And again, you know, once they get that under their belt, then they work on getting productive, and it goes on from there. And we also have the residential components with more of the traditional residential programs.
So is it all on the campus out there on 441?
Those residential services are the campus. We have our crisis services. And then as we go to our different counties, we also have office sites. For the same thing, smaller offices, but still serving a lot of people. And on top of that, now with our telehealth, we had telehealth before COVID. It's grown exponentially. We are ready for that. And now, so really people have a lot of options. They can do it from the comfort of their home. If they want to talk to somebody like we're talking now, they can come in as well to any of our offices throughout. We go all the way up to Georgia Line, over to Cedar Key, and now we're down in Marion County as well. We get over to Baker and Bradford.
Now I'm going to put you on the spot. Name every county quickly.
D.C., Levy, Gilchrist, Alachua, Columbia, Suwannee, Lafayette, Hamilton, Marion, and Putnam.
You get an A on that quiz. You know, it's interesting. In our office, we have kind of a dialogue going back and forth as far as getting clients in, because we think it's more effective one-on-one in the office. However, a lot of people after COVID now are resistant to that, and they just want to do, a Zoom meeting. I'd like to hear your perspective on that.
Sure. The research is very strong. It's studied very intensively, and they show that as long as a person prefers it, the actual interaction, because of the how clear and the communication is, that it's just as effective.
So
that's been thoroughly researched, and we have psychiatric services for that as well as our therapy service. And we can actually do, with technology again, we can do the whole group format. We can run groups that way as well. And then we have the in-person groups, which are very effective.
You know, it's interesting. In the legal profession, if we had a case, we might go to a courtroom and have 20 lawyers there with 20 different cases. Mm-hmm. And you'd have to sit there for 2 hours waiting for your case to be called. And it was probably the most ineffective use of time. And when lawyers went to using Zoom for hearings, court hearings, there's some things that they still do in person. But now the court system and the lawyers all really like the fact that we can remotely show up, in a town 2 hours away. Because think about it, you have to be there in court in the morning, so you got to leave 2 hours ahead of time, make sure you don't hit traffic, and you're there on time. You're there waiting for 2 hours. Then you have a five-minute presentation in front of the judge, and then you got to get back in your car, and you go home. So you've wasted the whole day just about. Okay.
No, it's very true. And with that level of professional service, and if we think of there's a national shortage of psychiatrists and prescribers, mm-hmm. we would have the same situation with psychiatrists we serve, and we are very proud that we serve all these rural communities where there are no services, and they're in the car most of the time. So they exponentially can provide more services, which is so critical because of the shortage.
So Maddie, let me turn it over to you for a minute here. You mentioned that your training is also, you can also do virtual training. What's your perspective on, you were there before COVID, you're there after COVID. What's your perspective on that, how that's allowed you to expand your network?
Yes, absolutely. So my grant particularly covers 12 counties. So all of the counties he listed other than Marion, so excluding them. So if there's a group of people who are in different counties, like organizations or companies usually will take the class, it's much easier for everyone to just kind of do it from wherever they feel comfortable than to having to drive to one central location. And it's really been able to expand the number of classes that we can teach in those counties. I do still go in person to a lot of those counties and teach the classes in person as well. But if someone, usually the in-person could be a barrier potentially. So having it virtual is definitely better than nothing. It's, it's the same course. And like he was saying, you can do group activities. You can have little breakout rooms. And a lot of it is a PowerPoint presentation and video clips. So it's all really, beautfully done virtually as well.
So if an individual, just one person's at home and they want to join a class, you just put a bunch of people together and then you can teach the course to a group.
Yes, so that's what the community classes will be this summer. They are set dates so that individuals can sign up versus a group. They can just kind of, if they provide the people and the place, they can pick the date.
So call to action again. Yes. When are the dates and how do they get into the classes?
So the very next one that's coming up is actually May 26th. That will be a youth mental health first aid. And I just checked, there are still some slots available. Again, that can be accessed on Facebook under Meridian Behavioral Healthcare. It'll take you to an Eventbrite link. The next few dates are going to be the first Thursday and the first Saturdays of June, July, and August. So there are still more details to kind of be rolled out. I'm not sure if the Eventbrite is up for that yet. But we will definitely be giving people that information through Facebook, or they can contact me directly. That can be a great way to sign somebody up. But yeah, I would definitely suggest going on Facebook.
Well, I think that it's easy, right? You make it easy. All they have to do is reach out to you, and you'll follow up and get them into a class that works for their schedule.
Yes.
And the class is mostly during the day, at night. How you set it up?
They are usually during the day. They usually start around 9 a.m., and we end around 4:30 or so.
Oh, because it's an 8-hour class, so correct. You wouldn't start it at 8 o'clock at night.
It could potentially be split up into, like, two sections. We have done in the past, it was a group of UF students, so we did two, evening courses. Mm-hmm. So we do try to be flexible. It's information that I'm trying to give to everybody, so if they're interested, I want to try to be accommodating and make sure we can find a way to work that in their schedule.
Well, I think I'm very impressed. Like I said, I've been friends with Meridian for years and years, and every time we have a guest from Meridian on the show, I'm always amazed at all the wonderful things you're doing to actually improve our community and help others. So I want to congratulate both of you, Alan and Maddie, for everything that you do. We're very, very fortunate to have a strong system within our community to help anybody regardless of their ability to pay. Mm-hmm. So I want to ask everybody out there if you know anybody that might be interested, or perhaps yourself, go to Meridian Behavioral Healthcare, and you will be able to sign up for the Mental Health First Aid.
Hi, this is Attorney Jeffrey Meldon. I hope you enjoyed this podcast, and we look forward to Law Talk Live for you next week. And go Gators!